This gospel passage today has kind of been one that's always, I found kind of confusing or curious, that Jesus sends out these 72 disciples to go and preach the word, to, drive out demons, heal the sick in his name. And so they go out and they do just that. And he gives them the instruction of what they're to do if people welcome them and what they're to do if people reject them. And so they go out and they come back rejoicing. There's great celebration because they've done what the Lord has asked, and the demons themselves trembled and were subject to these disciples. And so the disciples were excited, and I think rightfully so. But Jesus offers them kind of a rebuke, if you will. And maybe that rebuke might not be the correct word for it, but he certainly is purifying them, their intentions a little bit. There's a correction here. He's kind of shifting the direction of their rejoicing. And just in this pericope, this gospel passage, just like most of them, a lot of times the last line of it kind of contains the punchline of the gospel. So listen to that last line again. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Do you see the kind of the shift here and the reason for celebration? Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's purifying their intentions here. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, I think, really got to the heart of what this gospel passage is trying to tell us. And is a quote, one of my favorite quotes from Mother Teresa. She said, "The Lord does not require us to be successful. He requires us to be faithful." The Lord does not require us to be successful. He requires us to be faithful. So, take this gospel passage. And what would have happened if the disciples came back and the demons weren't subject to them? If they weren't able to cure people? If they weren't welcomed in the villages and the towns where they went? They were rejected. And they maybe made no progress, so to speak. No physical or signs of their work coming to bear fruit. Would they still be rejoicing? Probably not. But the Lord is saying they should still be rejoicing. Because the matter of rejoicing isn't a matter of whether or not they see the fruit of their work. It's not whether or not the demons are subject to them. But that their names are written in heaven. That they've been faithful to the task in which they've been entrusted. Been faithful to the call that the Lord has made and demanded of them. That is the task. That is the measure of true success. And you know, for me, here today in the 21st century, one of the most common questions I receive, I hear it a lot, is about prayer, about distractions during prayer, distractions during Mass. Father, it's so hard to pay attention during Mass. My mind wanders, and sometimes I don't feel like I get a whole lot out of Mass. Or when I pray, I just kind of sit there, or I fall asleep, and there's not a whole lot going on. It's so hard. It's so difficult for me. That's a good question. It's a good point of reflection. And on that point, I'd like to share a quote with you from St. Claude de la Colombière. He's known as one of the greatest spiritual directors in the history of the church. He was a French Jesuit priest. And there's a quote in this book from one of the letters that he had written that speaks to this point exactly about temptation or distractions in prayer. "It is a great illusion, but a very common one, to imagine that one has little or great virtue according to how many or how few distractions one has in prayer. I know souls who are raised to a high degree of contemplation who were distracted from the beginning to the end of their prayer." And here's a real kicker. "Most of the people who are so much troubled at this wandering of their mind and souls are souls that are filled with self-love and who cannot bear the confusion into which it throws them before God and man, and who cannot put up with the weariness and the fatigue that their prayer causes them. They desire to be rewarded by sensible consolation for the mortifications that they practice." Again, St. Claude is getting at this idea, this purification of motive of intentions. Sometimes we can be more interested in the consolation of prayer than actually in the prayer or who we're praying to. more into what we receive than what we offer. But make no mistake about it. There is great value, great merit, and simply being present before our Lord. And the very act of praying, whether or not you feel like a whole lot is going on, there's great value there. It builds up that relationship with God. It builds up the strength of will, the communication with God. Again, it's not about success. What we think success should look like in prayer, what we think success should look like when we go out and preach the word of God or you know, whatever it might be. It's about fidelity. It's about staying true to what we've been entrusted to, handing on the faith to the best of our ability. And I know this is another big question that I hear a lot, especially from older folks or grandkids who say, you know, I did my best. I tried handing on the faith to my children, my grandchildren, and they walked away. They left the faith. They don't pray. They don't believe in God. Again, were you faithful in handing on the faith? If the answer is yes, then that truly is success. Each person has free will, right? Our children, our grandchildren, they have free will. They can reject the faith. They can accept it. It's up to them. But if you truly were faithful in handing on the faith, and your own practice of the faith, and living out prayer in a daily manner of handing that on, and they choose to reject it, then you've been successful. You've truly followed that path of our Lord. Do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We're not called to success. We're called to be faithful.